Welcome to Counterpress on The Ringer and Spotify. I'm in the studio with Gilly Flatty and Jesse Parker Humphreys. Gilly, always booked and busy. We had two doses of Gilly Flatty on the weekend. Friday night, under the lights. And little Sunday treat, Brighton, Manchester City. Big old weekend.
I apologise for any listeners who had to put up with me twice on the weekend.
No, everyone loves your coverage.
I turned Jonathan Pearce on Chelsea Leicester off so I could listen to Gilly Flatty.
You weren't there?
The Chelsea men's game.
Oh. No. What?
Yeah, it was Chelsea men's game.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Friday
night. Same time.
You chose to listen to me instead.
I chose to listen to you on the City game. I think that says more about Jonathan Pearce than you, but take it as a compliment.
Gilly, it's a really important time for you at the moment because you're meant to be training for the London Marathon, which is about 4 weeks away.
Yep.
But we've discovered before recording today's show that you haven't, in fact, started that marathon training yet.
No, I haven't. It's actually giving me very, very bad anxiety at the moment because it's a bit like, you know, like a diet, like you say, I'll start it next week.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing since I got accepted, really. So yeah, I'm reaching out to Jesse today, actually, to give me a bit of guidance.
Yeah, I know, because you need to, because Izzy Christensen's running it as well, you know. That's
the WSL legend.
She's always posting about her runs.
Oh, no. Well, I'm not going to be seen anywhere near her. Not even at the start.
So what have you got, 4 weeks?
Yeah, realistically, I don't want to do it like, I'm not aiming for like a good time, yeah? Which is not going to happen anyway. I just want to complete it. It doesn't matter if it takes me 6-7 hours.
I mean, you probably just want to try and get out for some runs at this point. Just go out.
Just run.
Just run slow.
Running slow, yeah. Oh, I don't mind doing that.
Running slow for long periods.
Yeah, but you don't, yeah. Try and get out for like an hour, I'd say, maybe.
Okay. And would you say, like, if I started today, for example, how often?
Well, because you don't want to overdo it because you're so close.
Yeah.
So maybe go like, try and go like 3 times a week.
Like every other day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a pair of runners today, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it.
Go after the show, go down to Oxford Street.
Yeah.
Get yourself a pair of trainers and we'll start from there. And then if you put it in the Counterpress group chat, Jesse will give you some guidance.
You need to get on Strava.
Strava.
I'll kudos you.
Yeah.
For accountability.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what I think that's what I've missed, you know, accountability.
Yeah.
Someone going, get out and do it.
Get
now.
Out of the house.
You should have got me round. I could have come round and sent you out. On
the last time we spoke about it, though, it was like, what, January?
Yeah, when you got in.
Yeah.
And then you kept saying, no, I'm starting my training program then. It's a 12-week program or something.
It's just like a diet. I don't start my diet till Monday. If I start after, it just don't work.
Well, guess what day it is?
Monday.
It's Monday, Gilly.
It's Monday fun day.
But we'll post in the group chat. We'll hold you to account. We'll cheer you on. I can't remember if I'm around marathon day, but if I am, we'll come down, we'll support you.
If Chelsea win, it will be the Champions League semi-final and I will be in Barcelona.
Oh,
sorry.
I might actually have work, so I might not even be able to do
that. Oh, an ultimate excuse.
Oh, no.
It's okay. If you have work, we will do a supported marathon for you around Barcelona. So we'll make a course and you can do it.
Yeah, lovely.
To be fair, there's quite a lot on the line in that Chelsea quarterfinal now. Gilly's marathon place is really up in the air because of Chelsea, whether or not Chelsea are going to
stick that up in the changing room. Gilly's London marathon acceptance email.
Amazing. Well, we are recording on Monday after a very hectic Friday night game between Chelsea and Arsenal. So we're obviously going to talk about that because there was so much to discuss even before a ball was kicked. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to reflect on the opening weekend of the NWSL season. So let's get into it after this. All right, Gilly. Friday night under the lights, we have to say that the Stamford Bridge DJ had an absolute blinder. I was actually at one point thinking, doesn't matter if the game never starts. These tunes are absolutely bouncing. And I do think the whole situation with the Sox, which is where we'll start, I think the DJ handled it remarkably well, because I think you could easily have sort of gotten to a bit of a subdued, dead place before a big game like that. But the fact is, he saw it as his Glastonbury headline set and grabbed the opportunity with both hands. And I don't think the atmosphere died at all. I actually think it ramped it up a notch. There was still this sort of confused energy and vibe around the place, because everyone was a bit like, what is going on? And then you get word that there's a kit issue, and then as the next sort of 10 minutes progress and we find out the kickoff is going to be delayed till 7:30, you then find out it's because Arsenal brought the wrong socks, and then you then find out they had to go and buy ones from the Chelsea club shop, and it just kind of gets more and more ridiculous as the time progresses. So yes, on Friday night, the 7 p.m. kickoff between Chelsea and Arsenal was delayed until 7:30 because the Arsenal kit man didn't bring the right socks.
I mean, it's quite funny, isn't it?
It's funny, but...
You think it's a disgrace?
No, I just think it's really embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing for mainly Arsenal, because your biggest game of the season against your rivals away from home, who you are playing in order to try and keep yourself in the title race, and you forget your socks and therefore delay the kickoff. And Gilly, this is where I want to get your opinion, right? Because I was sitting there thinking, this is so embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the league. It's embarrassing for Sky covering it, having to delay the kickoff by half an hour and say it's because of some socks. And also, it messes with the preparation of the players, because mentally, you're all ready to go. And then you realise, because of someone else's fuck up, your whole preparation is delayed by half an hour. And I feel like you could see that as well with how Arsenal started the game.
Yeah, I think, obviously, because we only got it really, like, in our ears, that it probably about 5 minutes before that there was going to be a delay. Thankfully for the DJ, because I thought, if I have to wait another half hour, I'm going to be Sando by the time, like, this game kicks off. He pulled through. I was ready to go out. I was ready to drop the mic. I'm going home, man. I'm going out to party. But no, I think that what I said to you obviously earlier as well is that if this had been known, like, when they turned up, right, listen, we can't get no other socks, whatever, you're going to have to wear them. You've got to do it for the warm-up. Not that there's no excuses, but in the sense of, you know, nothing changes.
You can block it out fairly early on.
Yeah. They do their whole warm-up in their white socks. They then come in. Then they then get told about the socks. Then they're having to come back out again to re-warm up to then go back in again. Nah, mate. Like, it would have affected my prep, because I think you're ready to go there. And then they could have had the best warm-up possible. They could have been on it. They could be fine. And then they've got to wait half an hour. They sit down for a little bit. Then they come out. And I know a lot of people would be thinking, well, it's just a pair of socks. Like, just deal with it, get on with it. But I do think it's like, it just shouldn't happen. Do you know what I mean? It shouldn't happen with the way the women's game is now.
100%. And if I was sitting there stewing, thinking, this is embarrassing, this is stupid, imagine if you're a player and that's the reason that your whole entire warm-up and the kickoff has been delayed, you'd be raging. So Arsenal submitted the right socks, the red socks, on the pre-match portal where all the info goes about what kits and everything. But then the kit man brought the white socks. And the thing is, no offence to any kit men or women out there, but you literally have one job, and that is the kit. And we all make mistakes, but that is such a fundamental error. And we've talked in the WSL Iconic Moments episode, check it out back in the feed from last season, about funny moments where this happened in the past. Liverpool playing Yeovil, 2017, I believe, and Liverpool wore Yeovil's away kit. Funny moment, fine. But it's a very different league now. It's a very different time. And
I wish they'd had to wear our whole kit.
I mean,
that would have been beautiful.
We could have potentially got to that point. And it's happened in the EFL at times before. Like, it's, you know, it's not something we've never seen before. But I just find it a little bit embarrassing when it is the biggest game of the season, two of the biggest rivals, everything. It's a showpiece Friday night, and you get such a basic error. It's like, come on, guys.
I don't feel as deep about it as you. I think it's funny, and it's just kind of one of those things.
Yeah, but you find it funny because your team won.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd even be deeping it if it was the other way around. I'm like,
Do you think if Chelsea had forgotten their socks and then got smashed, do you think you would have deeped it?
Trust me, Arsenal had so many problems in that game beyond wearing the wrong socks.
Well, no, the socks is obviously only part of the issue, but at the same time, I think mentally, Jilly, to what you were saying, Arsenal's intensity, they were so passive, they were so physically weak, they were so slow.
But Chelsea had the same experience. I think almost you could argue it's worse for them in some ways because they've not done anything wrong and they've got themselves psyched up and they've done their warm-up and they're ready to go and then they're made to sit
back down. Because I think they got the upper hand because it's Arsenal with the mess up. It's Arsenal they get to laugh at in the tunnel before. It's like, I think for Chelsea, I don't think it messes with them at all because it's like, we're not, you know, they don't need to change their socks. Like they're all ready to go. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think it, like, from the off.
If you're an Arsenal or a Chelsea player, can you let us know what mental advantage or disadvantage
you think this gave you? You can see two very different sides, and Arsenal looked completely shell shocked, and that's why I do think you can see that impact. Like, they just look like rabbit in the headlights, and yeah, part of that is the intensity that Chelsea started with. I mean, pretty much every single Arsenal player had an absolute stinker on Friday night. So it's much more than just the socks. But when you set that low intensity from the off and you're basically losing every single one-to-one, you're getting pushed off the ball, you're not closing anyone down, the gaps are so huge, you're letting Lauren James take like 15 touches on the ball. As soon as Chelsea...
And then you look down and there's a lion on your sock.
And then as soon as Chelsea get that early goal, it's like, well, it feels like the game's kind of done.
Yeah, but I do think as well, like, when I was playing, if I was an Arsenal player, I would be fuming with the kit man, but I would be embarrassed. And I would be embarrassed to have a lion on my sock. But I would, those things would embarrass me.
Exactly.
But I do think, though, I would be embarrassed and I would be, I'm going to literally kick these players around this pitch. That's how I would have been. I wouldn't have been like you. I think when Arsenal started the game, I was like, where are you? Where are you? You're playing on one of the biggest games on Sky. Do you know what I mean? You're on telly. The crowd is packed, right? It's been pumping. How are you not wanting to smash everyone over this
pitch?
How
does Whitney Houston remixes not get you going? I mean, talk about ghosting. I think every single Arsenal player was Casper the Friendly Ghost. I can't think of one player that put in, more than five performance. It was so, so poor. And to what you were saying as well, Jilly, I didn't understand why Lauren James was given such grace and no one thought early doors, especially with the way that Leah Valti has been that presence in games before, or Katie McCabe, who was shockingly quiet all game and very, very bad. Why is no one coming in early and just putting that pressure on or making a foul or being physical? It was like, we know Lauren James loves playing at Stamford Bridge, but she was given the keys to, you know, the like, app. She could just drift and do whatever she wanted all game. And it was so surprising to watch a team be so like CBA about a game.
Yeah, I think Chelsea's structure made it hard for Arsenal to figure out how to deal with James, because I think when we've seen them deal with James well before, she's often been playing out wide and then come in, and it's been easy sort of for Valti to move across and pick her up because she plays in that sort of left-sided or slightly more left-sided role in the midfield anyway. I think with LJ being ahead of them, but quite a way back from the centre-backs, they didn't know what to do, especially because they still then had Nusken making the runs. And I think also the using Erin Cuthbert pushed up slightly more than she has been at other points this season and seeing Melanie Leupolz back a bit, again, felt like it gave LJ a lot of protection in that space because Cuthbert was almost like, again, the distraction in that area. I think Chelsea like did well to have a lot of players who were sort of acting as decoys. But I think this is also something that like Arsenal have a bit of an issue with, is that if they kind of come out the blocks and they look really good, they tend to do very well. I think we saw that in the Emirates game against Chelsea. But if they come out and like the game plan isn't necessarily what they expected it to be, And to a certain extent, that's true, because I don't think anyone expected Nusken to be playing as effectively like a 9.5. Chelsea had played Čanković in that role, like, all the past couple of games, and Nusken have been playing a centre-back literally like last week.
She's played pretty much every single position apart from goalkeeper at this point.
So I can see how going into that game, that might not be what you expected. But yes, then the question is, you know, 15 minutes in, it's still 0-0. Are you making the adjustments that allow you to deal with that? And they didn't make the adjustments at any point, to be honest. Chelsea could have scored three more in the second half.
Well, that's the thing. From probably minute two, Lauren James was taking shots, and you could tell how she was approaching this game. She wanted to score like quite a few goals. She was up for it. And from the first minute in, she has that shot. She tries a similar one throughout the game on her left that like none of them really work off. And then she obviously scores the first goal. But you could kind of tell the approach. But like you say, Jesse, it's like no one kind of thought, okay, how are we going to deal with this? And the intensity that Chelsea had in the way that they were passing the ball so quickly, everything was like 1-2 touch release, apart from James, who was given that time to kind of either slow the game down or control the game. And then as soon as Arsenal got possession, it was like everything slowed down. Even if there was any chance of a break, it slowed down so much that Chelsea could reset, get into shape, defend quite easily. And I can't think of really one good chance Arsenal had.
I think Arsenal got into good positions, but their choices when they were in the final third were really poor.
Like, Xenia's kept trying to cut it back on that right hand side, and either it was like a poor pass or it just got cut out really easily by Neve Charles. There was nothing really beyond that for me.
There were also moments though where, yeah, I thought both Blackstenius and Mead should have taken a leaf out of LJ's book and just taken some more shots, because I do think there was a sense early on that you're right, like LJ literally came out and was just like, I'm going to shoot. And I think it makes your defence think differently about what they want to do. I think it makes, especially when, I mean, LJ's quality as well in those areas. But again, it's forcing players to try and think about getting tight to her. And that's moving players out of position. And then again, you've got then the opportunity in the space that opens up for someone like Johanna Rytinkanerid, who had Steph Catley on toast for the whole match. But, you know, Lotta Moyes is then distracted because she doesn't know what LJ is doing. So you don't have then that player coming to back at that second line of defence from your centre-back, which means that then Kanerid's got, you know, I think it was all of that stuff that it felt like Chelsea was so aggressive in that sense, whereas it felt like in the opening 20 minutes, you know, before Chelsea scored and Arsenal did go up the other end of the pitch, they didn't seem to have that level of sort of certainty and confidence in what they wanted to do. And that's been a familiar problem with Arsenal's attack this year.
It was funny, Emma Hayes saying after the game that it felt like exactly what had happened for Arsenal at the Emirates happened for Chelsea in this game. And I certainly felt like that, even just from not obviously those moments of luck, which deflections are a bit of luck, but the intensity and the physicality. Watching back that Arsenal win at the Emirates, you see how like they're just winning some of these individual battles. They're just like approaching the game so much faster. And Chelsea were the same on Friday night. And when you have that approach, I think you're probably more likely to get those situations go your way. And like I feel Chelsea benefited so much from getting that early goal. And that's what benefited Arsenal in that Emirates game. And it was always maybe going to be the battle of who got the first goal, given both teams are sides that probably sometimes struggle when they need to come from behind and chase a game. At the start of the season, Arsenal were better at banking those comebacks against Villa, against Manchester United away from home. But their recovery in games hasn't quite been the same since. Think about that West Ham game that sort of drifted away from them. And Chelsea just looked so dominant once they got themselves into that lead, Gilly.
Yeah, and I think obviously like you're looking obviously the first goal of Lauren James, that like Zinsberger should do better. Like she literally parries it up for it to go in, like she.
It's so funny. No, the way it comes back down, like from the sky to go over the line, is so funny.
I think my problem with Zinsberger is that she's the kind of goalkeeper that is throwing hands for saves and she doesn't know where the ball is going. And if the best goalkeepers know that whatever contact they get, they know exactly where they're pushing the ball, because that's what you practice. You know if you're going around the post, you know if you're going over the bar, you know where you're pushing it because you've got to push out of danger. Problem with Zinsberger is she might get hands to things, but she has no idea where the ball is. It's just kind of a touch and hope. And that was the prime example. It goes up in the air and she's like, ha! And then she just sees it falling back of her head and she's like, oh no. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but and that's what I think. I think if she saves that, for example, and do you know, what my point was, my frustration, yeah, on Friday night was no one wants to close the ball down. Yeah. No one wants to close a player down. I'll just let Lauren James get the ball, yeah, and I'm gonna let her spin me, not getting him out. And then I'm just gonna let her run 15, 20 yards at me. Lea Williamson done a full-on 360-degree spin at one point because she couldn't... I know they was worried about... I think it was Nuskin or whatever on her back shoulder. I understand that, yeah? A lot of Woba Moyi has to, at some point, go and put pressure on the ball. I see it yesterday in the game, Brighton-Man City. Brighton don't want to go and close down. You had Laura Coombs sit on the edge of the box for 90 minutes, having shot after shot after shot. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Laura Coombs puts the ball in the back of the net. And that's the thing that frustrates me with Arsenal. I'm like... you have to go and put pressure on the ball. Caitlin Ford comes steaming out at one point and Steph Catley's sitting there twiddling her thumbs, like, don't go with her. And they're the things that I just thought, like, and obviously I was doing commentating with Emma Byrne and I was like, Em, would you have allowed this to happen when you was in goal and I was playing in front of you? She's like, no, I would literally rip your head off. But that's, they don't have that in there. They don't have that, them sort of characters saying, demanding more, saying this is not good enough from an Arsenal player.
Yeah, it, like more often than not as well, if you're playing a team like Chelsea with that much quality, you let them have that many shots. I mean, think of, like, they're going to go in eventually. Lauren James giving that much time and space and she's in a mood. Like, they're going to go in. And it was just, I think, a bit of, you know, the best way to describe it is pathetic. It was a pathetic performance. And what also frustrated me, not only someone go in and smash Lauren James early, like, just... if you've got to take a yellow card and just remind someone, they're not going to take the piss out of you, because let's be real, Lauren James was phenomenal on Friday night. She took the piss out of every single Arsenal player on the pitch. Then, if I was Leona Seidervall, I would have been dragging the kit man in the post-match as well. Like, I would have been taking
you're
everyone
putting
out.
Him off in front of the press.
No, I would have just...
This is the problem here.
Oh, dragging him, not no. Like dragging him
oh,
in.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have made him go and do the postman.
Come here.
I just would have said, you know, it's all about preparation. And unfortunately, our preparation let us down tonight. And everyone makes mistakes, but that mistake had a big... impact on why we lost the game.
That's I think it would have been said. So embarrassing if he said that, because he got so much wrong.
No, I would
if
have
I
said...
was the kit man, I'd be like, fuck
you'd
you.
Be
I
of sick,
watched
mate.
Your guff team. What about my socks?
I would have added to it. Come on, I think you've got to be named and shamed.
I would have signed off sick, mate.
It's a fundamental embarrassing mistake and I would have dragged you, okay? Then secondly, all weekends off cancelled, you're coming in... Saturday morning into Colney and you're all doing fitness testing. I cannot believe some players had a holly bobs and were posting on social media. Like, I'm sorry. I know fans in women's football are far too nice about this, but if my team got battered by our main rivals and long-standing title rivals in a game that would have saved our season in terms of the WSL title, there's no way I would have been posting jolly weekend pictures on Instagram and just thinking like it was a laugh. That is so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing.
Where do you stand on Sarah Bouhardi posting a photo of her holding the Champions League?
If you didn't know,
yes.
Okay. That one, I say less because you were a bit part. But if you were someone who threw in a stinky diarrhea level performance on Friday night, and you were started in that side and you're posting jolly holly holiday pictures. Nah, not having it.
You just don't. You don't. You can go and enjoy yourself, yeah? Don't put it on social media.
Don't put it on social media.
Leah Williamson just got papped, didn't she? She wasn't like posting about it. It was people taking photos of her at the game.
No, but Caitlin Ford and Kate McCabe had a sunny, jolly Dublin St. Paddy's Day weekend and posted about
They think like, we can't see them in that Guinness, but we could.
We can. We can see you printing the Guinness. It's just embarrassing. It's truly embarrassing. And I think too often everyone is maybe a little bit too like, oh, we sold out the Emirates. It's so great. We beat a stinky Manchester United team. Sorry, in the moments that matter, you still have to deliver. And you,
this is generational head loss.
Poor United getting dragged. The stinky United team.
United catching strays. But I just think everything about Friday night was so pathetic. But Chelsea were brilliant.
We were great.
So I'll give them
that. Time.
But yeah, if the head loss, if I was an Arsenal fan, would have
the
been even more.
The head loss when you're not. I mean, I'd dread to figure what the head loss would have been like.
I know. I would have been losing the will to live. Let's quickly touch on some comments pre-match that Emma Hayes made that really set things going on social media, but also beyond. She's since circled back after the game, Jessie, and basically apologised and said what she said was not right. But we'll go back to Friday, the press conference, where all the managers on Friday were asked about player-coach relationships because it's been a big topic of conversation. And Emma Hayes talked about that. She first referenced that and was saying, you know, there's been a shift in the way that the women's game's been from an amateur professional game. I mean, the WSL's been professional for a very long time now, but and she was saying, you know, the clubs need to prioritise safeguarding, protect the players, and she's always been a big advocate for code of conducts and making sure player welfare is prioritised, especially when it comes to player coach relationships. But then she kind of went on a tangent and started talking about player-player relationships, and she said that they were inappropriate. And it was that comment specifically that obviously frustrated and disappointed a lot of people, even it looks like her own players on social media, because she obviously has a lot of players in her team that are in relationships, a few of them, you know, very publicly as well. She's signed in the past very high-profile couples in Madeleine Eriksson and Pernille Harder. So it was a very confusing thing to say and started a whole wave of discourse around it. And then on Friday night, she circled back. And I think, in a way, sort of closed the conversation when it came to her criticism, but it hasn't closed it elsewhere, and said, I was wrong to say that and it was inappropriate. I was wrong to say that it was inappropriate. Sorry, Jessie, that's what she said.
Yeah. Although I did think it was interesting that she talked a lot about how, you know, it had been made into clickbait and she was better trained than being a clickbait manager, quote, and, you know, that she was so open with the media and sometimes, you know, maybe she shouldn't be and all of this stuff, which I thought was a bit bizarre because I think I saw a lot of people referring to it as clickbait, but clickbait is normally where you're using something that somebody kind of hasn't said or you're misinterpreting what they said to like drum up drama. But she said it. She went on to say other things, but that she was saying them in service to her original comment, which was that she thought they were inappropriate. Now, obviously she said that she did use the wrong word, but I still thought that characterization of it was a little bit bizarre and felt a little bit like, oh, it's the media's fault for blowing it out of proportion, as opposed to, you know,
just taking the L.
Yeah. But she obviously did still say that, and that, you know, she'd had a conversation with Jess Carter and she talked a lot, which I did think was interesting about, you know, I thought it was interesting almost in service to her original point, but, you know, that her, you know, players are human and dressing rooms are complicated and people are always going to have fallings out and disagreements in dressing rooms. And she was a big believer in, you know, not sitting on this, not being quiet on it, like having the opportunity to like talk things out and move on, which I agree. But I think, you know, that it was also what she was kind of talking about player-player relationships and the complexities that they can cause. Like, people are human and these things happen. So yeah, I mean, to be fair, her tactics and her team bailed her out, I think, more than anything, because I think it would have been very hard, regardless of what she said, for anyone to really go in on it after the performance. But
well, that's why I think it's so interesting. Not that I'm coming back to the socks thing again, but think about the narrative going into this, which was a lot of it, it felt like some chaos and a bit of disruption within the Chelsea camp because of these comments and also because of the injury crisis. And yet I think what the Sox situation did was completely flip it to Arsenal and say, actually, now you're the ones with the disruption and we can sit back in our immaculate kit and chill out and not have the head fuck which we may have had an hour before. They managed to kind of stamp out any of the potential question marks and disruption and flip it, which I think is kind of interesting given just 24 hours before everyone was thinking, oh, have Chelsea managed to kind of ruin their entire season based on a week of chaos in and around the club? But now it's like, oh, that feels like nothing on the story of their season.
I know what you mean, but I don't know how much of that is sort of like the external view, because again, I think that always going to come down to like individual players' is preparation and mentality. My kind of view of professional sports people is like, if you can't compartmentalize that kind of stuff, you're probably not going to be cut out for it.
But you know what's really interesting is I saw Emma Hayes' comments at 3 p.m. on Friday and thought, well, it doesn't really matter because players don't really pay much attention to the press conference. Then a few hours later, I saw Jess Carter's Twitter likes and thought, oh, I'm wrong about that one. So I kind of was actually thinking, oh, maybe they will be a bit more rattled than I would have thought.
Yeah, well, I guess the performance tells you that they could comp. I just don't think that was necessarily the socks that fixed it, is what I'm saying.
No, but I do think if you are looking for reasons to kind of like come together as a team and be like, you know, we're focused, we're ready, and you see the other team problems, it's quite satisfying, Jilly, probably in your home stadium before a big night to be like, well, they're the ones with the drama.
Yeah, and I think like in regards to the comments, I think I've been in teams before where there is players and players together, and I understand what the point that Emma was making in the sense of, even as a fellow teammate, it does make things difficult at times if one of them's not starting, or you know, there's selection decision or competitiveness, and or someone falls out with someone else. It can become, or if they break up, that could be another thing that just causes a lot. that it can have issues, but yeah, I think you're looking at that. There'd have been a lot of spotlight on Chelsea coming into that week in regards to the press conference and comments and the whole of everyone's seen Jess Carter liking the tweets. How's she going to play? Do you know what I mean? How is Jess going to handle it? And I think she handled it like an absolute pro, in all honesty, because obviously Emma's come out and said it's sorted or whatever, but you're never going to really know realistically.
I will tell you for free, the way Jess Carter reacted at the end when Emma Hayes came up to her, that is not fully put to bed.
I didn't see what happened.
It was just like, she was like super cold.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, and she was like walking around on her own. Like she wasn't with...
Who, Jess Carter?
Yeah.
No, I didn't catch any of that.
But I do think like if I was in that situation and a manager had come out about something like that and I was in a relationship with someone, I would think, like, if everything we do for you, in the sense of we put our body in the line and play for you, you've chucked us under the bus a little bit here. But, I get on really well with Jess. I'm good friends with her. But I think people were watching her as well that night to say, think, how is she going to react? How is she going to perform with all this that's going on? And sometimes as well, you probably forget people can see your tweets that you like as well. So then that obviously all blew up. But after last night, I think she had a great game. And you're never going to really know, really, because Jess probably is not going to come out and say how she feels and stuff. But I think, yeah, if you're able to deal with that and get the result, which Arsenal have had their problems on and off the pitch in their team, they don't seem to be doing the same.
Well, that's what I was going to say to your point, Jesse, talking about how elite athletes compartmentalise mentally. That performance from Chelsea is probably a prime example of why they're the best at doing it, because even forget about Emma Hayes' comments, they've had a lot of issues this season when it comes to injuries and external things. Even the season where all the sanctions came in, and I was at West Ham. Well, you were there as well, the Dagenham. Were you there at the Dagenham game when we didn't know what was going to be on their sponsorship on the shirt? Mm. And it was this whole drama and everyone was wondering. Like, they've had a lot to deal with through the years. Sam Kerr's case as well. I completely forgot about that. And it probably does show a team that's very experienced at good at navigating those bumps in the road. And perhaps, like you say, Gilly, Arsenal aren't. And that's why I do come back to the socks and say, like, if you're a fragile team, someone like that rocks you much harder. Whereas Chelsea can lean on the fact that they've been there and done that and seen some shit and still kind of come out the other side of it.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, regardless of the comments and how that affected the team, I think also Chelsea have always just been very good when they're in a backs against the wall place, and they were coming into this game having, you know, played last weekend when Arsenal didn't have a game. They'd had the Conte Cup semi-final against City. Both of those games had been sort of narrow 1-0 wins. They did have the injuries, and they knew that they had to go in and, okay, maybe it wouldn't have been the end of the world if they drew this game, but, you know, they wanted to win because they wanted to still be in the lead when it came to the title race. And that's what Chelsea do at this point of the season, you know? And I think that's a great testament to also the way Emma Hayes builds her team across her squad across the whole season. Because again, we were seeing players playing in different positions. You're seeing Khadisha Buchanan come in and play, and she's barely had any minutes, and she's barely been with the squad because of the Gold Cup over the past couple of weeks. So I think for her to come in and play really well, that was testament to her. We saw players who have maybe over the past couple of weeks have struggled with their form a little bit, Guru Wright and Neve Charles, go back to the heights that we know they can reach. We saw, you know, we've already mentioned Nusken playing her gazillionth position, and like, I thought she was exceptional. Eve Perisay's gone through, you know, a couple of weeks where she's literally defended against Lauren Hemp, Chloe Kelly, Beth Mead, Caitlin Ford, and none of them have got any change out of her. So I think there's a lot of players there who aren't Chelsea's stars, in inverted commas, but it's testament to how the team is rotated and the players are trusted that when those moments arise, everyone takes a step forward.
Gilly, quick one before we park the Chelsea Arsenal chat. Has the kit ever been forgotten at any of your games?
No, I don't think it has.
See, it ain't that hard, guys.
Yeah, I don't feel. Can I just tell you, right? This is going to make you laugh, yeah? When I got it heard that we're going to get it delayed and they're going to go to the
shop,
my first thought was, will they have to pay for this, yeah? Or will they get it for free? Like, Chelsea are laughing because they're going to earn from
company card expenses.
From Arsenal, isn't it? Yeah, I wonder if they got a discount.
I think it was about 260 quid.
Really? Yeah.
Do you know what's wild?
I would have added on I'd have doubled the prices by the time they got in store.
You know what would have been funny, though, is if the club shop was closed. They're like, oh, we're closing a half an hour before kickoff. Sorry.
Get in the stands. Yeah. Come on, get your socks out, everyone.
Because also, there could have been a scenario in which Chelsea could have changed their socks in order to accommodate.
Chelsea never
did,
do they?
No, always wear white.
Always wear white.
But that would, like, obviously, you're not going to do that, and you're going to say, you guys sort yourself out. But
imagine if they'd had to play without socks, just shin pads taped around their legs.
God, that would be awful.
Or your normal Nike socks that just pulled up, stretched.
Just the top of the shin pad still, like, sticking out.
Someone's got a pair of Sunday socks on. Just like,
also, just to add to that, like, it's the biggest game of the season, and you're an Adidas club that leans into your Adidasness every day, and you're wearing Nike socks on prime time. Sorry, someone's got to go for that. I will die on this hill. It's just like,
Flo is so angry.
Poor man's
going to
be unemployed.
What if this man is a really big Counterpress fan? No, he's going to be so sad.
I tell you, he was a big Counterpress fan. The old Arsenal kit man. So it wouldn't have happened.
Glibbo. Shout out, Glibbo.
It wouldn't have happened under his watch. I tell you that much.
He'd have been fuming, mate. It wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened. That's why.
It wouldn't have happened under him.
It wouldn't have happened. Anyway, that is enough.
Sock
Chelsea, Arsenal and sock chat. Let's talk about the first weekend of the MWSL. Okay, so listeners may have clocked that on Thursday's show, I got confused by the calendar. The MWSL diary confused me, but I've talked about the Challenge Cup and then I accidentally said next weekend when I meant this weekend for the rest of the games. So yes, Hopefully you didn't miss it on my account. But the Edinburgh Sale started this weekend.
I want to know the one Counterpress listener who is like not engaging in any other media and only your pronouncements on the calendar.
Google doesn't exist.
No Google, no social media.
And let me tell you, if you're relying on me, do not.
It's a mistake.
It's a big mistake.
Unless it's if you want the right socks for a football match.
Yeah, that's when you come to me. It's funny though, because we did get two or three replies to random tweets on social media with someone who really got annoyed that I got it wrong. So whoever you are, I'm sorry. But hopefully people were smart enough not to rely on me and therefore did see it. But yes, we had a really fun weekend of Edinburgh Sale action because we had the Challenge Cup / Community Shield as a nice little opener, nice little starter. And Alex Morgan, late winner, San Diego beating Gotham. A big victory for our good friend Casey Stoney. And she then took it upon herself in the post-match conference to just reiterate the fact that they won the league and don't forget it.
And she's right.
And she's right. And it started a good back and forth on social media as to some people who said, well, they didn't. And some people said, yeah, they did. And there's nothing like a bit of sort of traditional English football chat to really set things going on social media. What would you say, Jilly? They won the league, but they didn't win the championship. How do you see it? Are you team Casey Stoney with that?
Yeah, I'm team Casey Stoney, of course, supporting the English, you know? Yeah. I would.
Brexit means Brexit.
I would be fuming, though. You think you do all the hard work.
My noggin would be boiled.
Yeah, I'd be gone, mate. My head would be rolling.
Well, it was a nice goal from Alex Morgan. I wouldn't say there was amazing marking on her, but she comes on at halftime, gets the winner. It was a lovely header and trophy in the bag for Casey. So what's not to love, eh?
That's about the only game, Edinburgh Sale game, I didn't watch because I did go out for a dance after Chelsea won, obviously.
What was your game of choice that you streamed on the new Edinburgh Sale Plus, which I am enjoying, actually?
The multi-screen, wow, world rocked. Obsessed.
You've got that, you've got the multi-screen, but you've just got, like, because a lot of them are taking feeds of higher quality broadcast coverage, you therefore just get better cameras. Like, you get... It's very HD, especially the prime ones. You get replays. It's basically a more glamorous, expensive version of FA Player. And I have to say the functionality is a little bit better. So although it was impossible for lots of people to work out where to find things, once they did, I think they really enjoyed it. I did. And then you've got all the games, you've got all the replays. I think it's a nice little platform. I would like, though, an Apple... Julie's yawning into the mic. She's so bored. Over it.
She's like, end of herself.
Sorry.
Fuck this.
No, I would say I want a Apple Edinburgh Sale Plus app because they've got Fire Stick app, they've got an Apple TV app, but they don't have one for iPhone. And I think that would be a game changer because you have to stream it via the website.
Create
on the phone.
One. Okay.
I mean,
come on.
Do you look like a maid of money, Jilly? No, that's their job. But well, yeah, what game did you stream, Jessie?
Well, I watched loads. I was nonstop.
I was great.
NWSL pilled. Kansas City Current versus Portland Thorns was very funny.
What a game.
That was 5-4 in the end. There was no defending, particularly from the Thorns. I will say some of the Thorns finishing I thought was like immense. Like Sophia Smith and Janine Becky had pulled out some very, very good finishes.
The two Sophia Smith goals were sublime. Defending and goalkeeping was an issue the entire weekend, I think. But Kansas City went from 5-1 up to just winning 5-4. Portland Thorns with a dramatic attempt at a comeback. That game was super chaotic, but still enjoyable. But there was a lot of quality lacking in the defending and the goalkeeping at times. And a goal for Alex Pfeiffer, 16 years old, the youngest goal scorer in Edinburgh Sale history. But whenever I see her name, I just think of Alex Pettifer. I don't know if that's just me. Do you remember Alex Pettifer, Jilly?
No. Am I too young?
No.
You're older than us. only just.
Respect your elders, then, yeah?
You know Alex Pettifer.
Yeah, he was Alex. Sexy.
Who? What?
He played,
what was that
What's
part?
His name? Alex Ryder.
Yeah.
In what?
In the Anthony Horowitz film, Stormbreaker.
I ain't seen him.
He was like...
I wasn't recognising him if I saw his face.
What's that Emma Roberts film he was in?
Yeah, I... cut this up. Wild Child.
Wild Child. Did you ever watch Wild Child?
No, I didn't.
So he was like a real...
Actually, he was too busy playing football when we were just yeah. watching films.
When we were teenagers, he was kind of like the teen
he
hunk
was a
that everyone loved. Like the English Zac Efron, is that
yeah.
fair?
No, yeah, I think that's fair.
And so there was a big series of books where he was like a teenage spy.
Yeah.
Is there? Yeah. It's almost like Born, the Born Identity series.
But the
but
films were awful.
The films
books
were awful.
Were much better.
Stormbreaker, what was
Point
the other
Blank,
one?
Point Blank, that was the second one.
Stormbreaker was the one that really went off.
Point Blank was my favourite. That's where they're like skiing on the mountain.
Yeah, it's like Teenage James Bond, I yeah. guess, yeah. So anyway, her name reminds me
of him.
of him.
That's a great
We've got on a sidetrack. But I wanted to ask you, Jilly, because she, Alex Pfeiffer is 16. She signed with the club when she was 15. You started playing pro when you were 15. But the one that really made everyone feel icky recently was McKenna Whittam. I don't even pronounce her name, Whitham or Whittam. She played for Gotham in preseason and she's only 13.
No, that was too far.
And it felt a bit icky. She's also got a Nike deal. She's part of their squad. I don't know how much she's going to play during the season, but she's part of the squad. It's a bit weird that.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think from an, I even think from an older player's point of view, like there's a lot of like the safeguarding, you know, and I think you, in the sense of, When we was at West Ham and sometimes we'd have trialists come or some of the youngsters come up from like the under 16s and you're just general chit-chat in a football room, a changing room, the banter, we then had to then, you're conscious of what you're saying because obviously there are young...
I didn't know what you were saying.
West Ham dressing room.
No, I know, filthy.
No, but like even that is in...
What got cut out of squad goals on BBC Three that we never got to see? That's what I want
No,
know.
But do you know, like as in, not even like little things like...
Do you
even
mean just like
swearing?
Yeah.
Like I would... And, I mean, I don't swear... My mum, I don't say mum, but sometimes in a change room I might as well. But I would be so conscious of it. Or even like just topics, like if there was like people were going out on dates or you know, just things like that. Like
yeah, workplace chat that you get anywhere.
So and that
inappropriate. Like,
but they were then, they're like, you're talking 16, 17. So you do have to think about that. And then, but obviously for 13, like, I mean, she's
weird.
Still growing. Like, she's in school, like, she's a child. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a child.
Like, I don't think that's necessary for her to be playing at that age in a scene of football.
It's weird. And it always just also gives me like icky Freddie Adu vibes that like if you chuck someone in too early,
yeah, it's just
they end up peaking and then we never see them again and it becomes this sad tale of like what might have been. But yeah, it was a real big weekend for the young, exciting talent. Elsewhere, Sam Mewis had a nice little ceremony at North Carolina Courage. Really emotional speech where she talked about how much her recent injury and had played on her mentally, and obviously it was the reason she retired. But I think it is. I mean, I've seen clips of her talking about it on her new podcast, and it. Yeah, I think it's really sad. We talked about when she announced her retirement to see her go, but I think it's important for her to talk about like the mental impact and drain that just having this injury that no one could kind of figure out, no one could diagnose, no one could give her support or physio or some kind of route back into the game, that takes its toll. And I think it was refreshing to hear her, even on this kind of celebratory night where she's on the mic and they're talking about all her achievements, to say like, in fact, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to be. Like, this has ruined my career and I'm really struggling to come to terms with it still.
Yeah, I think it's important for players, obviously you are role models in the game anyway, but 9 times out of 10 you hear about all the good stuff. And I think it's important for players to speak and to, you know, show that not everything's not okay all the time. And I'm quite fortunate that as much as I got to retire on my own terms, I've retired, a lot of it was down to my dad dying, but in the sense of I didn't have to, I didn't want to play anymore. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know how I would have felt if I had to retire. I still wanted to play, but an injury or a condition or something was stopping me from doing it.
Jilly, we know any excuse for you not to run. We've established that in the intro, so don't worry.
You don't
need
to
lie.
Have to pay me. Do you know what I mean? But I just think then that like that's for someone who still has that, you know, and it's been cut short, and it's not just necessarily an injury that is understanding and clean and easy, and you've come back from it and you just can't physically get there. If you're struggling and you're not getting that help and you don't know the solution, and the only really option is then to stop, it's that purpose. Do you know what I mean? Of finding that purpose that you've known, that's all you've ever known. How do you replace that?
Something being taken out of your hands as well is just horrible.
You've got no control over it.
Yeah. Honourable mention to the Kansas City social media admin who had a brilliant weekend. That Twitter is just popping off.
Yeah, and then I noticed that I felt like the London City Lionesses were trying to do the same thing, and it wasn't working in the same way. I did then start to find the social media. I thought it was funny for the first like couple, and then I decided it was actually a little bit annoying.
Wow, it didn't take long.
Yeah. I just think
it's a long old season ahead.
Sometimes you gotta like putting one of two of those things in.
Yeah, small doses.
I thought Chelsea admin did very well on the socks front.
Yeah.
A couple of funny tweets, but like not going overboard.
But it was funny how lots of NWSL teams, well, I know the Pride did,
jumped. Yeah, and the NWSL official Twitter account said socks stroke.
It's a global embarrassment.
I do think being bantered by Orlando Pride is a serious low for a football team.
See what I'm saying here?
Can I just say, the Orlando Pride kit,
the pink one,
the colour, I was just like scrolling through Twitter and they posted photos of them all in the kit while they're playing. And I was like, who are all these naked people?
What are you following over there?
The nude kit. It was the nude.
I'm going for Jessie's legs later.
Yeah, listen, make sure you check out Jessie's legs. They've got something to hide. BFC, massive opening day win for them against
Oshawa,
their new
moved
local rivals, Angel City. Massive, massive result. What a finish from Asisat Oshawa. And I was really impressed by that.
I think Angel City were probably unlucky not to come back and win this. But
yeah, there was a lot of kind of like goal line clearances. Lizianne Prue had a good game in the Bay FC goal.
But funny, yes.
But yeah, I think for narrative, you know, I also think that Angel City being knocked off their high horse is an exceptional day for us all. So the fact that Bay FC, obviously, are coming here with big ambitions, bought some big name internationals. I wouldn't say they've gone as hard on the celeb marketing as Angel City. So I do find it funny that your new rivals came in first game of the season and boom, knocked you down. I quite enjoy that. I quite liked it. It was a very fun opening weekend.
Just one shout out as well for the Reigns. Very WSL coded team. Angharad, James Turner, Jisoo Yeon, Lily Woodham. What a random selection of players
is. Oh, I forgot Jisoo Yeon went there. Oh my God.
Yeah, their midfield. They were so... I kind of liked it to a certain extent, but I was like, this is just central midfielders. They played in midfield. Jess Fishlock, Jisoo Yeon, Angharad, James Turner and Quinn.
Well, talk about narrow.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it was kind of fun because they then had like Bethany Bolser and Jordan Huitema just being like kind of going, they were like taking the channels and then you had sort of all the central midfielders like coming forward.
I will say that whole penalty incident in the Reign game, which happened in the first 30 seconds of the match.
That was funny. 10
seconds.
10 seconds.
It was such a bad challenge. I don't know what she was thinking. And then the penalty was so basic and easy. I was like, oh my God, I hate this game. Click off. I was like, I'm not watching any more of this. It was so, so bad. And that wraps up a lovely weekend of footy. In terms of the WSL, actually, I meant to say when we talk about Chelsea Arsenal, City won. Jilly, you were there. It was really... I don't really want to talk about it because it was such one-way traffic.
Can I shout out my favourite piece of Jilly commentary when Layla Wahabi reached the edge of the penalty area? And Jilly's commentary was basically like, she just liked me for real.
I bet she's thinking, excuse me, I'm a bit more technically gifted than what you are. She just ran out of centre-back. There was no options and she was just running into a brick wall, which
she
is...
She didn't know what to do.
No, she panicked.
Got to the edge
That's
of the
what
area.
I did. That I used
seriously
to do.
Panicked. Well, City's win keeps them on level points with Chelsea and they are now within two goals of Chelsea's goal difference, which is very, very interesting. So we're going to be back on Thursday talking about Champions League quarterfinals kick off this week. Jessie, you're going to Amsterdam.
Can't wait.
So we're going to catch up with you on Thursday, hearing all about your trip. Julie, you doing any Champions League action?
No, not this week. They didn't. They're not sending anyone out there. My work, anyway.
Oh,
so well, I'm at home.
Oh, you're chilling. All right. Yeah. Well, listener, we'll see you on Thursday for some Champions League action.